If you brought your Bibles, you can turn it into Psalms. We're going to look at 121 and 125, and we'll look at that in just a little bit. Don't have a real long message this morning, going along with the sharing and everything, and what a week it's been. And I think about everything that's happened this past week, and think about last Sunday when the power went out here and we were preaching. You know, that was kind of fun, because it's an excuse to talk louder, but if I talk louder with this on, then I get in trouble because it hurts people's ears. And this morning, it's kind of nice because it has been a hard week, but I know if I'm feeling down, I can just go over to Tim and he'll give me a big thumbs up. So. Last Sunday, we lost power. And as soon as we got done reading out of Revelation, the power came back on. You know, God really worked it out that way. But we had to... We had our family camp meal, and really, unbeknownst to some of us, we didn't really know it had gone down in Eldora. And I was told that the Gilmores had to go home early because they had some damage, but to what extent, we didn't really know. And so we're sitting on the couch, and my phone rings, and it says Chip Dolesky. I'm like, okay. You know, we talk quite a bit, and Chip, when something's going on, or he thinks it's kind of funny, or it's going to take you back, he kind of chuckles a little bit as he talks, like, hey, Nate. Hey, Chip, what's going on? You need to come to camp. Okay, what's going on out of camp? Well, we've had some damage because of the storm. Oh, you guys got some limbs or stuff down? It's like, well, we don't really have a building that has a window in it that's not broken. Oh, a little bit bigger storm. So I loaded up some tools and headed on down there. And it's just as I got to Eldora, Stady pulls up and says, well, he wasn't very nice. I'll just put it that way. I'm sure Rick Bachman was nicer than that. But maybe not. They said, you from here? No. Turn around and go back where you came from. City's closed. Okay. Now, the city didn't look real good, and the crops looked even worse. And so I turned on my personal internal GPS, which turns out is better than Rick's, and I got to camp with no problem. I navigated some gravel roads and came in from the north, and as I drive by the country club, I'm like, wow, we're not playing golf there next weekend. And I pull into camp, and as you're coming in from the east, all you can see are just tree limbs and stuff because all the hail came across the west end of the buildings. And so once I got up there a little bit and then turned around, it's like, whoa, that was a storm. And there's big hail like this. And so it's raining and we're trying to pull trees off buildings and we're trying to, you know, Linda's office is totaled. We're just trying to board stuff up. And it was just very unexpected to have a storm like that. And I asked Linda, when was the last time you saw something like this? She says, I've never seen anything like this. And you talk to people, and nobody else had seen anything like this. Big trees up by the roots, and just hail just went across and sandblasted all of the siding off of the buildings, and all of the big Quaker Heights pine tree has no pine needles left on it. And that's a lot of pine needles on the ground. There was so much stuff that we brought in a basket rake and pulled it behind a tractor and raked up the ground. So I'm thinking, okay, this changes my week a little bit, but I know some guys with some big equipment. We'll make some calls, and we'll see if we can't get this cleaned up tomorrow. I said, don't worry, we'll have this all cleaned up on Monday. And I was right, because Royal came, and I called the Martins, and they brought their big straight truck, and we had a ton of volunteers, and we got everything moved. I'm like, okay, no problem. I can still get my week done, because I told some people specifically, I'm going to come visit you this week. I haven't seen you in a year. I need to come visit you. And not only that, but we had family coming this week. And you know, when family comes, you all of a sudden, there's all your projects that come out and need finished. Because we put new windows in, and the back room was just a mess. And so we needed to clean that up and freshen that up and get it ready for them. And so, okay, I've got stuff to do. Get back to my weekly plans. Well, what happens next? I get sick. We were watching some friends' boys, and turns out that they had some stomach sickness. And it's one of those really fun ones where your body decides that everything that's on the inside is supposed to be on the outside and finds real creative ways to do it. So my body had one specific way it liked to do that. I'm not going to tell you. But so that, it was one of those sicknesses that you can't eat anything. And it's hard to drink anything because it all turns your stomach. So you get real weak and you get real tired. And so Tuesday night, I started to feel kind of sick. And then Wednesday afternoon, I'm like, fine, I have got to go and just sleep and just not move because I'm dying over here. So if I die, I want my wife to be around, at least say, poor Nathan. She knows I like it when she says that when I'm moaning in bed. I'm like, oh, she's like, poor Nathan. Like, that's right. It still makes me feel better, even if I tell her to do it. So I'm sick. And during one of my sessions, I get a phone call. And it's kind of an urgent phone call, and it's from Dick, the funeral director at Vogel Family Funeral Homes. And, hey, I left you a message over in the church, and I left you a voicemail on your phone. Did you receive it? And I'm like, no, but I bet it's not a great one. He says, well, Martha Norman has passed away, and we'd like to know if we can have a funeral in your church this Friday. And, of course, now it's like Wednesday afternoon. And I'm like, okay, well, let me see if I can make some calls. Can I call you back in an hour? Can you call me back sooner than that? It's like, okay, I'll go do what I can. So I get out of bed, and I hobble over to the office, and I make some phone calls. And, of course, nobody knew I was sick on the phone because I'm being professional and everything like that. It's just when you go home, you don't have to be professional. And so finally I called a couple people, and they referred me to the right person, and so I talked with Sharon, and we got everything worked out, and like, okay, called him back. Okay, we can do it Friday, I can do a service. Okay, changes my week again. So we had the storm, I got sick, now I've got to prepare for a funeral, I've got family coming in, Saturday we're having a work day, and I still have to do something for Sunday service, because you know I didn't do that before I got sick. Of course, I would have had to do it last week because of the storm this week, so it really wasn't my fault. And so, there's always someone else for the blame, right? So this week, I didn't hear that. Oh. For this week, I felt like I was in a snowball fight, but if you've ever seen the movie A Christmas Story, you've got Ralphie, and then you've got his little brother. And the mom dresses the little brother up to go to school, and it's cold, and so she puts him in so many layers that the poor kid is walking like this. And I felt like I was in that snowball fight, and I had all these layers on, and I'm the kid that's trying desperately to make a snowball and then throw it, trying to fight back, but in the process, I've got 10 other snowballs coming at me because the other kids are just like picking them up and throwing them. So I felt pretty defenseless because, you know, being sick knocks you out, and the storm pushes it back, and then preparing for a funeral, oh, it was a great week. Was it a hard week? Yes, it was. Have I had harder weeks? Yes, I have. You know, I've had very busy weeks, but the difference in this week was that there was no way for me to prepare or plan ahead of time for things. I've got something that's ingrained in my mind, and it's called posture and preparedness. I like to have posture, but to have posture, you have to be prepared. I've had harder weeks, but you know what? I had maybe months to prepare for those hard weeks, and this just all happened at once. Not only that, I got knocked out for the count with that sickness, and I know you all can't wait to shake my hand on the way out. It makes a huge difference in your, let's say, your well-being, in your sanity, in your ability to keep control, whether or not you can prepare for things. But I was forced this week to not look on my own strength. And I was reminded this morning, and as I was reading the Bible, about Jesus and the disciples in the boat on the lake, and the storm that came up. And Jesus is sleeping in the boat. You know, he's fine, he's calm. And the disciples are going crazy. Boy, how much water did they bail? How much stuff did they throw overboard before they realized that their own strength could not save them? And yet they worked so hard, and then all they did was go down and they call upon the one. And he comes up and, with a word, calms the storms. Brennan Manning, Abba's Child, this is the book that we're going to be going over in the book study, and he sums up kind of my week, and he writes about one of his days, and he talks about the present risenness of Jesus Christ, and I want to read you. It says, our hope is inextricably connected with the conscious awareness of present risenness. And what he's talking about with present risenness is he's talking about Jesus Christ being alive in your life every day. He's not, you know, so many times we think of Jesus as, okay, Jesus died on the cross back in the past so that he could save me from my future. But where is Jesus every day? So he's talking about the present risenness of Jesus Christ, a Jesus Christ that died but came alive, has risen, and is now walking with you every day. It says, during a writing session early one morning, for no apparent reason, a pervasive sense of gloom settled in my soul. I stopped writing and sat down to read the early chapters of the manuscript. I got so discouraged, I considered abandoning the whole project. I left the house to get the brake tag on the car renewed. The office was closed. I decided I needed some exercise. After jogging 2 miles on the levee, a thunderstorm hurled sheets of rain and a howling wind almost blew me into the Mississippi River. I sat down in the tall grass, vaguely aware of clinging to a nail-scarred hand. I returned to the office cold and soaked, only to get a phone call from Rosalyn that led to conflict. My feelings were running rampant: frustration, anger, resentment, fear, self-pity, depression. I repeated to myself, I am not my feelings. No relief. I tried, this too shall pass. And it didn't. You see what he's doing here? He's looking for peace within himself. He's looking for that strength within himself. And then he says, at 6 that night, emotionally drained and physically spent. So he's gone through this all day. And says, at 6 that night, physically drained, I plopped down in a soft chair and I began to pray the Jesus prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner, seeking out his life-giving spirit. So here he finally goes to the one who offers peace. Slowly but perceptibly, I awakened to his sacred presence. The loneliness continued, but grew gentle. The sadness endured, but felt light. Anger and resentment vanished. A hard day, yes. Rattled and unglued, yes. Unable to cope, no. How does the life-giving spirit of the risen Lord manifest himself on days like that? In our willingness to stand fast, our refusal to run away and escape into self-destructive behavior. Resurrection power enables us to engage in the savage confrontation with untamed emotion, to accept the pain, receive it, take it on board, however acute it may be. And in the process, we discover that we are not alone, that we can stand fast in the awareness of present risenness. And so become fuller, deeper, richer disciples. We know ourselves to be more than we previously imagined. In the process, we not only endure, but are forced to expand the boundaries of who we think we really are. Hope knows that if great trials are avoided, great deeds remain undone, and the possibility of growth into greatness of soul is aborted. Pessimism and defeatism are never the fruit of the life-giving spirit, but rather reveal our unawareness of present risenness. And that really stuck out to me. Like, oh, what a coincidence that I'm reading this week. That he talks about when you're completely down and out, and there's nowhere else to go, and you can't get it on your own anymore. You have to go to Jesus. This week was a reminder of how my strength is really so small. And I kind of say that kind of ashamedly, because I feel that this is God's ministry. And God has to work through me to do this, because I can't do it on my own. But I'll be honest with you, sometimes you get going and you kind of get into a groove. And you've preached so many sermons and you hear so many things that you're like, okay, I can do another sermon. Even if the Holy Spirit doesn't just, bam, throw one on me, I can probably do something that's entertaining enough that Randy's not going to fall asleep. Well, pride starts to creep in to us, doesn't it? As we get going, and the farther we come away from realizing the present risenness of Jesus Christ in our life every day, the more room we create for ourselves to be self-dependent. I say, I can do this. This is me doing this. But when your trials force you to call upon the strength of Jesus when you otherwise wouldn't, it's a trial that was meant for that purpose. I mentioned how back in the past I've had harder weeks, but I have prepared for them over months. I could do all the work ahead of time, but this time God says, no, I'm not going to give you a chance. I'm not even going to give you a fighting chance to be able to take care of this yourself. Well, why? Because he took all my strength physically because I was sick. But this week was a reminder to me, and it was meant to be a reminder to me. Jesus was calling, hey, remember, you need me. You need me. Don't forget who I am, and don't let your imagination of your own strength overtake the truth. I was reading Psalm 121 and Psalm 125, and I'd like to read those. Psalm 121 says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. In Psalm 125, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, both now and forevermore. The scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous, for then the righteous might use their hands to do evil. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, to those who are upright in heart, but to those who turn to crooked ways, the Lord will banish with the evildoers. Peace be upon Israel. I sat here and I was reflecting over the service and I just thought, man. My first response this morning was to come up and look at the bulletin. Did I remember everything? I'm like, well, what is next? I've just been a little scattered, I'll be honest with you. And I look at the hymns this week because I had nothing to do with the hymns. Usually I at least even know the hymns beforehand. I kind of help Diane. Okay, this would go good here. But I look at that hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. And I just had to stop singing because that second verse on page 11 says, did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. And I just looked at that and I said, I could have never chosen that hymn. I could have never found those words out of this whole book to go so well with this. And also about the sharing this morning. I think that's why mission trips are so important, because that's where you finally get worn down. It's where you really get to experience God's strength and not your own strength. So I want to ask this morning, where do you go when your strength is weak and your body is broken? Do you go down with the boat? Or do you call upon the one who can calm the storm and who watches over you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we have heard your words this morning, and I just pray, Father God, that everybody here would come to know your Son, Jesus Christ, in a way that they would feel that present risenness every day, that we would seek you every day when it's going good, when it's going bad. And that we would know where our strength should always come from. And then we would stop trying to do all these things on our own. Give us the courage and the strength to carry out your words, Father God. Amen.